Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody. I am sitting here with my gorgeous, amazing, beautiful smoke show goddess of a co-host.
You're a nutty buddy. Hi, guys. It's Heather.
We are coming to you a little bit late on this Friday. We realize that.
Sorry.
But we're making it on a Friday anyways, and that's what's important.
We're just coming a little late. You know, yeah. It took a little longer to get there.
A little performance anxiety. That's all right. It happens to everybody. So before we get started, let's do a check-in. Heather, how's your head?
It's pretty good. Like we've talked about before, everybody knows what's been going on, and it's been a lot better days. I've been on my medicine. That's all moving and grooving like it has been. Had a couple setbacks just because holidays, first time holidays with new traditions being made and all of that. So of course there were some low sad spots, but I felt them and I moved on. Sometimes that took a couple days. Sometimes that took a lot of you holding my hand and being a little extra clingy, like, but because I needed it, like, not extra clingy, so me wanting to be extra clingy, I guess. And you letting me be that.
I love it when you're like that.
But, you know, they're days, but for the most part, things are looking up. I've got a new friend that's pretty steady. Mm-hmm. So that's been fun. We went and got a tattoo yesterday, and
you went and got a tattoo yesterday.
Well, yeah, but you went with me, so yeah. We went.
Just because I was not gonna let you drive yesterday.
Yeah, I totally could have though.
No,
you're right. Those roads were
fucking shit.
Yeah, it was bad. Shout out to Egypt at Ink Indie though, hooking a sister up and making a sleeve come true.
Yeah, you did a really good job too.
Balling on the budget and all. So you know, tattoo therapy too. I'm pretty much riding a high on top of the high I'm riding too. What about you? How are you? Give me a check-in.
I'm not in a real great spot right now, but hopefully talking about things on this episode here will help that. Had 10 days at work where I sat and did nothing but go to the gym all 10 days. And that, while the gym time is great, sitting up there with nothing to do.
Yeah, because you're trapped, dude.
Yeah. Mm. But sitting up there with nothing to do really fucks with me. You know, you and I had a couple of arguments about what we're going to talk about today. So that fucked with me pretty hardcore. And then, of course, coming home, there was a blizzard that hit the Midwest. I had to actually get a hotel room for the first time ever on the way home.
You hated it.
And I fucking hated it. Smelled like hookers, and that wasn't any fun. Because I didn't even see any hookers. Otherwise, I would have got one and maybe had a little bit more fun. But then got up
but
the next
literally
morning.
All of Kansas was shut down.
Like, yeah, y'all, I mean, like, I got a notification when I was in Iowa that the whole state of Kansas was shut down. They weren't allowing anybody to drive, so had to shut down, get a hotel room, woke up the next morning, and they opened one highway that led to the turnpike, which was also open.
He got on it.
And I got on it. It took me over 7 hours to get through the state of Kansas. And, I mean, roads completely ice and snow packed. It was fucking rough. And I was so tense that by the time I got home, I had an old pre-existing shoulder injury that I had all but forgotten about that flared all the way back into existence so bad that I couldn't even lift my right arm up. And
yeah, it was bad.
You know, we went out yesterday driving, and Oklahoma got hit with a little blizzard of its own, and the roads, Oklahoma does not take care of its fucking roads. Your governor doesn't give a flying fuck about you, just so you know. But yeah, went out and was just as tense the entire day yesterday. And so I'm fucking hurting.
So we're waiting for those kids to get back in school so we can go get some massages.
Yeah. That'll be nice. I'll go to my little Chinese place down the street. But
I mean, I was gonna say, like, we could do a legit massage this time, but you know, if you want the full shebang, you do that, and you can come pick me up at my place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I'm hurting. I'm not in a real great headspace, but you know, hopefully this episode will help that. So we'll see. So what we're gonna talk about today, we've got a little bit of an issue that has been existing with us for a while now. It all started back probably 2.5, 3 years ago, where I told a big fat fucking lie. I decided to, out on my own without talking to Heather, go explore polyamory, quote unquote. And in that, I let big feelings develop on both ends. I was using the L word, like literally saying that instead of, you know, instead of love, as if that somehow made it better. And Heather found out about it. And when she found out about it, it almost ended our marriage. And, you know, we've come a long way since then. But because I did that, you know, that kind of hurt doesn't go away. That kind of betrayal doesn't just disappear. And so now we have a mutual friend that, you know, playtime has happened, and it's been
okay. Like, yeah, it's an approved playtime.
But I have a tendency to do more romantic gestures for this friend, and I'm not even meaning to, but I am doing them. And so we want to talk a little bit about insecurities today, about where they come from, about
mental health, and
about our issues and kind of what we're dealing with, and about, you know, kind of what I need to do in the future to kind of police that a little bit better. And maybe somebody will be able to get some advice out of any of this. So,
but also we use this for our own therapy and our own talk time, because we break it down pretty hard sometimes, and that's what we're doing today. So we're hoping we come to you in a calm, you know, collected manner. But like he said, there are some ongoing issues and just some past insecurities that we're both dealing with, because we're in it to win it. We're in it for life. We both want this to work, and we both thoroughly 100% enjoy the lifestyle path that we're on right now. It fits both of us. So it has nothing to do with negating that part of it. But just bear with us in case there are some loud silences. Mostly on my part, I'm trying to remember everybody in one of my, resolutions was to try and not react so emotionally knee-jerk. So sometimes I have found that I know it looks goofy as shit, but for me it's like I have to do this, like I close my eyes and do this weird hand thing, like my hands are my eyes and they close too, and it's like I take a 3-second breath. I clicked it, sorry.
Okay.
So that's like, it's a process. So I'm trying to like regulate myself so I don't explode in a way that isn't necessarily intended or whatever. So anyways, I just, you know, preface it. That's why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Real and raw. This is us. This is the life. At least for these lifestyle swinging folks.
So one thing I mentioned to Heather is that insecurities rarely come from just within ourselves on their own, right? You might have an insecurity from being bullied. You might have an insecurity from past discretions, things like that. So Heather, why don't you tell them a little bit about what's going on and possibly where this insecurity came from?
So, as he said, we had a mutual friend, or we have one, that we're both in love with. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, big part of our lives, one to keep it that way. But from my point of view, at least, being a polyamorous woman and identifying as that and doing that, I can't say from the beginning, because in the beginning we both tried swingers, and then it was just, that's where we where I ventured off into my own path, I guess, or whatever, of polyamory. And so for me, being that, romantic gestures and like caresses and more, you know, like high school boyfriend girlfriendy things, you know, like PDA stuff. That's some thing you do to connect with a partner. Or yeah, I can get where it's like foreplay, but when your clothes are on and you're in the living room and we're all watching TV and it's, you know, like that kind of thing. That's different, at least from my point of view. And that's where I'm coming from. Cody gets to give his in just a second. So that's where the issue is, the insecurity being that I really got shook up when the incident happened the very first time. Nothing happened physically, but it was of the, and that's where the problem is, at least in my head. It's not the physical parts that are the problem.
Emotionally.
Emotionally, because based on what Cody will talk about in just a second, his swinger aspect of it. I guess I should get, okay, so that's, so my swinger, and my definition of that, so I've said what poly is for me, or being polyamorous is for me. To me, my definition, maybe this is good too, this is where we figure out, like, maybe we've got different definitions and we've got to hone in on that. For me, being a swinger is, one, you're more apt to get a little strange on the fly, and that's cool and fun. It's also like a friends with benefits, like roster thing, having, because you enjoy being friendly too. You're not like, while you do enjoy a fly by the night one nighter, you know, you enjoy people too, and you enjoy having that connection and that, and any kind of friendship, it just makes things better, at least, or yeah, or at least for me. So to that point, but like, it's not walking behind them and brushing the small of their back while they're washing the dishes and you're walking towards the bathroom. To me, that's a poly thing, not a swinger thing. So swingers definitely more sexual than emotional, or, well, just more than more emotional, I guess. It's definitely, it's more physical. It is not really like a time consuming thing. Like, I mean, obviously we make time to have play times, and we try to do that. We try to do that at least once every time you're home. If we're, I mean, we just, sometimes we get lucky, sometimes we don't. That's just what it is. Kind of fly by the night. So the insecurity, he said, I felt like I was polybombed because it was just not my understanding. That's what Cody wanted to do. So it hurt. It hurt really bad. And I don't want
to
say,
is the insecurity now that you're worried that I'm going to do that again?
I think yes. And I think it's because of like the recent events and how it's happened and it being a friend, you know, like, so obviously I didn't know homegirl. And when I let you know that it was an issue and brought it to your attention why it was an issue, at least for me, and you know, you quit talking, because you owned up to your part in it. So let's talk about, those were my definitions of what being poly and swinger are. What are yours?
So it's pretty much the same, but I mean, as a swinger, you're going to have relations with friends, whether they're in the LS or, you know, like us outside the LS, but they are still open to play. and this is not a definition thing, this is just an opinion thing, even as a swinger with someone with, you know, who tries to keep emotion relatively out of it, you still want to show aftercare and a little bit of affection to the friends that you're playing with, both as a form of aftercare and, you know, like you said, kind of foreplay. So, you know, the romantic things that you're describing, the reason that I had so much trouble grasping this at first is because in my head, they're not romantic. You know, you said at first it was romantic gestures, and I didn't understand that because I didn't think I was doing romantic gestures. And in my head, it's just, you know, me, you know, trying to remind this person that, you know, hey, I am interested, you know. But I can definitely see your point of view, why it is romantic.
You know? Also, because the friend being the mutual friend, the reason I came to you and said, no, that's why it is a romantic gesture, is because of the excitement.
Yeah, and
from
and,
said friend.
Yeah,
about
and
you doing
so
things.
I was sending the wrong signals, and you know that's not my intent. Like I said, you know, whenever I do those things, my intent is to, you know, if we've recently played, let them know that hey, I really enjoyed that, and I'd like to do it again, or B, you know, get the motors running and try to make it happen again. Go ahead.
But that's not what's been done, because you've played with several of our friends, several of them that we see frequently.
Well, and you and I have gone over why.
Yes.
Like we've beaten that completely into the ground.
But not everybody knows that.
Okay, so I've played with a few of our friends, one of which I love her, but it's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, she is around quite a bit. She is very attractive. I'm attracted to her. But she's with somebody else that is absolutely against the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know where the boundaries are there, if I should still keep doing things or if I should not. So that left the one friend that we're talking about, who is not, you know, in the lifestyle, but still is open to playing, mm-hmm. goes to events with us, things like that, and is attractive, you know. And so that's the reasoning there. And you know, you and I have talked about that off air a bunch. It's not that I'm being more romantic, at least in my mind. And I get why you're saying I am, but in my mind, I wasn't being more romantic because I couldn't do that with the others, you know?
With those two correct, you could not, I understand. However, in a different subset of friends, which you have fucked everybody but one, I think. No, two. Okay. Well, I mean, if we count Haley and Megan, because they're like your sisters, three. So it's not something new to me having friends enjoy my husband. I quite enjoy my friends doing that. I feel like, I don't know, like it makes us look part of a cool kids club. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's just something I prefer it. I don't know. I just like knowing the people that are involved with my husband, or with me, or with whatever is happening or whatever. So correct. You cannot do the same things with this current set of friends that we're talking about. However, in the other subset, yes, you would tweak their nipples or rub your arm down their thing or say sexy things to them. But it was just that. It was just you doing your thing.
Well, and see, in my head, there's no difference between the two. That's or there wasn't. Like, I see it now that we've talked about this, but there's never been a difference between the two. It's just still...
You've never touched them like you've touched me. And that's not, like, in a sexual way. I'm saying you're tender and soft and touch me usually every time you walk by me. Mm-hmm. You do the same thing. Like, you will go out of your way to do the same thing.
And I want to, I sound like a real jackass right now. I want to make a note here that ever since we've talked about this, I've made a point not to do that.
Yes.
So, you know, we have discussed this and it has gotten better. I don't think that I've been doing that as much anymore. But continue.
No, I yeah. I mean, I think you've been doing good since we've talked about it. And So you continue. Or where am I at? What? You were giving your definitions. They were basically like mine. But
so I think a lot needs to be said here. For one, your intent matters to an extent, but it doesn't, right? So my intent was never to do any kind of romantic things. Like, that's not my intent. But apparently, not apparently, that's the wrong word. It's been perceived as romantic by more than one person, right? So even subconsciously, I have been doing that, even if my intent was not to. So you really have to take a look at your actions and the things that you've been doing. And even if you haven't meant to do those things, you have to look at yourself and go, okay, is this something that I can change? Is this something that I can control? And if yes, try, right? Because I want to make things better. I want to fix things, right? So if something's fucked up, I try to fix it. And something's fucked up right now. So this I can definitely control. So I have been making a conscious effort to try to be better. And like she said, I think I have. So
you have. But also, do you understand, like, even more now, because you're having to make the conscious effort, how often you were doing it?
I mean, kinda.
I mean, the fact that you're having to watch yourself.
If I'm being honest, no. Because it's just, I don't know. To me, I haven't done a lot of things different, but I have been making note of when it's happened and when it's not, right? Mm-hmm. So when I say a conscious effort, it's been thinking about, am I doing this or not, right? So in my head, no, it's not a lot different, but I have made note of every time that anything has happened, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem like it's very much, you know. So now, probably subconsciously, since we've talked and since I said that I'm going to try to change things, now it probably is a lot less, because, you know, I'm even subconsciously saying, hey, I'm not going to do that anymore, right?
So, and you've done it, because I haven't had to deal with big giant stones in my belly.
Yeah.
Watching it.
Right. But it doesn't really tell me how much I was doing it before, you know, and that's to answer your question, you know,
okay.
And I recognize, because you tell me there was a problem, right? And you're not going to bring something to me if it's not a problem. So, you know, I recognize there was a problem, and just because I don't see how much I was doing it before doesn't mean that I wasn't, you know. If you tell me I was. Right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
So, but yeah, like I was saying, your intent only matters to an extent, right? I mean, you can say, I never meant to do that. I didn't even know I was doing those things. Yeah, that's all well and good, you know, because that's what I'm doing. I never meant to do those things, didn't know I was. But at the same time, I was, right? And it's been brought to my attention. It's something that I can fix, and now I'm going to fix it.
It's just wild. I don't know. It's probably girl brain, because it is so different. Like, in my brain, I can't understand how your brain doesn't see what you've done. Like, how you've changed it.
Because the intention never was to do anything. This is where intent matters. The intention never was to do anything like that, so I can't go back and count the amount of times I've done it, because it was never anything in my mind more than just trying to get things ready. You know, it was never a special moment in my mind. When I do it with you, it is. Walking behind you and touching the small of your back, or coming up behind you while you're at the refrigerator and grabbing your hips, something like that, yeah, that is special to me. But with anyone else, it's not. you know.
But you don't do it with everybody else. That's where the issue lies and the insecurity resurfaces.
I get it. I understand. I understand that point.
I'm just trying not to sound crazy because it's not, I'm not fucking crazy.
So insecurities suck, right? You know, insecurities make us feel less than. They make us feel like there's competition. They make us feel jealous, things like that. So one of the things that we talked about before we started this was whether issues were being caused by external forces or your own internal insecurities. And this is one that is external forces, right? You know, I was doing these things. They were causing this insecurity to rise, and now I'm going to stop. And, you know, the insecurity
for her. Let us not forget, though, the insecurity probably being glaring, the fact that it's literally something that happened to me 6 months ago, and it involved a friend, and now, like, so that's happened, and blah, 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 blah. And now I'm seeing it again, even though, and I know, yes, you're 13 years and all this other stuff, but.
Well, you're not seeing it again. You're seeing something that could possibly be it.
Well, that's right? What I meant,
and
that's, I guess.
There's a huge difference, and a massive fucking difference, right? Because you're seeing a scenario which could develop into that if I was a piece of shit, right?
But because it has, do you understand what I'm saying? Like I'm not just spitballing bad that's happened.
I get that.
No, it has happened.
I get that. And, you know, like I was saying, these insecurities, they are either caused by external forces or internal forces. And then the issues that arises from those insecurities are either external forces or internal forces. For her, it's external forces that have caused this, right? They've caused this insecurity to develop. Started with my lie, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. And then 6 months ago, something happened. And then now, here we are. So I have to do a better job of being understanding of that insecurity, of working in any way that I can to try to comfort that insecurity and reassure her that no, that same situation is not going to arise. I am not the same as that,
and it's never
fucking like, loser.
Yes, I know. It's not that.
I know it's not that, but you still need that reassurance, right? Because the worry is there. So, you know, I still have to put in the work to give you that reassurance, and I'm going to. You know, but insecurities can be lots of different things. You know, for me, I have my own insecurities, and they're internal. You know, they're things that I feel about myself that have nothing to do with you. I mean, they slightly have something to do with you, but it's nothing that you've caused. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where, you know, you have to examine the insecurities that you're looking at and figure out, am I causing this inside my head? Am I building this up to more than what it actually is? Or is this something happening on the outside that I need to talk to my partner about, right? And any insecurity you need to talk to your partner about. I mean, I've talked to her about mine. You know, I'm not 6'2". I'm not all of these things, but at the same time, I still am me, and I'm pretty fucking awesome. So
yeah, and you're mine. Yeah, forever.
But regardless, I still have that insecurity.
Sure,
you know,
and that goes back to okay. So also, guys, we've got a psychiatrist, all that good stuff. I don't want everybody, Cody has got a look on his face that I can tell he is just beating the shit out of himself and his brain, and I hate that look. And so I am taking over the conversation to say that, yes, this has happened. Yes, this is an insecurity. But now that I have, like, now that it has been a realized insecurity, I need to focus in on me and figure out what I can do, not to fix it, but like to just to better understand myself so that I can figure out my trigger so that I can to say something like that. So
well,
I can,
and to reassure yourself in those instances when I can't.
Yeah.
You know, cause me saying that I'm not going anywhere, I'm not going to do that to you. The past 13 years, all of that can only get so far, you know. The insecurity is still going to be there no matter what I say, no matter how much time
and
I've
got in.
And
it just sucks. And I know it's because, like, I know, like I've said before, I know in my heart of hearts, I know, like, I feel it down in my bones that you love me and you're not going anywhere. Like, I know that. But because of the insecurity that happened a few years ago with old girl, but like right now it's just like that scab got picked open again, and it's not your fault, and that's what sucks for you, is because it's reopened shit that we thought we had moved past, but now it's a conversation that has helped me realize that I need a little bit more help, and I need to talk with somebody about it so that I can figure out how to better communicate with you when instances like this happen. But yes, like you said, and also learn tools for myself to know that I'm not going crazy, or that I'm not overthinking the situation, or that I'm not stuffing it down and saying anything because I don't want to cause more grief, or because I don't want to cause more upset.
Well, yeah, because you never want to do that. I mean, exactly. Stuffing it down only leads to way bigger fights, leads to way more heartache. You don't do that.
So that's why I took it away from you, because I can tell you're beating the shit out of yourself, and it's not...
I mean, what?
It's not your fault.
But it is.
But it's not.
But it is. So, it's important to not beat the shit out of yourself, but also to take ownership whenever you have fucked up. And
but I also think I do right that now, a lot, on the right now talking to you, we need to get you on like an online something or another, because there's issues that you need to talk about too there too.
There's a lot of fucking issues. But I don't know that, I mean, a surgeon would help. Stop. Yeah, therapist, lots of stuff. But
Cody Lynn,
it is important to take ownership.
Look at me.
I'm looking.
Pause. I love you.
I love you too.
You are mine. I am yours, and we are forever. Mm-hmm. Come back to me. We are fine.
It's important that you take ownership when you fuck up. And even in times where it feels like that's all you're doing, you still have to take ownership of it. And you got to work to make the changes. And sometimes it's going to be a lot of fucking work. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in a monogamous relationship, friendships, whatever the fuck it is. You have to take ownership when you're fucking up. And I've been fucking up. So, like I said, I'm going to put in the work to fix it. But
also, it brought to light things that I need to work on too. And it's good that it's happening. It sucks that it's, you know, it sucks that how it's coming, but it's coming because it needed to come. I need to get these addressed, because yes, this insecurity stems from this, but you know, there's, you know, my childhood, you know, everything that's, I mean, there's other things that like, this is probably stemming off of.
Well, and the fact that, you know, yes, the insecurity is there, but we both still love this person. You know, we both still want them around. We both still want fun things to happen with this person. You know, and it's so that'll let you know that it is an insecurity that's eating at you. You know, and while it is caused by action, it's also
something this
insecurity
else
that's inside you. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing I was going to say, is that you've got to look at your own insecurities and say, is this real? Is what I have pictured in my head, is this real? Is this going to happen? You know, for me, it's, are you going to leave me for a taller man, or are you unsatisfied with me because I'm short? And the answer is no.
No.
Right?
And not I know at all.
And I know that. So when I am in that insecure headspace, and I am in that irrational headspace, I have to let rationale take over. I have to come back to logical thinking and say, no, that's not true.
And I don't know if it's because you're a boy, or if it's because you're a little, not a little, more emotionally mature.
And I want to just negate the boy part. That's dumb. Boys and girls are not more logical or rational than each other. That's not how the world works. And that's a stereotype that's been played by the media and movies and whoever else you want to say, okay. But it's bullshit.
Oh, we got them on a spin. We're getting them back, guys.
Well, it is. It's bullshit.
Okay, you know? I apologize.
You have a tendency to be a lot more rational than I am, and a lot of times. So it's just in the moment, you know, one of us is going to be more rational than the other at all times, and it happens. You know, it's not because I'm a boy, and it's not because you're a girl. It's just, it happens, you know. So, for those of you listening out there, reassure yourselves and your children that just because they are boys or girls, it doesn't mean that they lack logical thinking. Everyone is capable of it.
I hope we're doing, because you know that's the different generations, because I know me and you are doing that to our kids. Like, we're mm-hmm. making sure that they know that. But you're right. Me going back to that is just, that's kind of how I was raised, you know? Yeah. Like, that was the time.
Yeah. When you know, you come from a place of a lot of emotional knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah.
You know, I've met your mom. So, you know, one thing that we are going to try to teach our kids is to let your logical brain take over in those instances. And, you know, it's hard for me sometimes, you know, because like I said, I still have that insecurity.
You do, but you are able, that's what I was starting to say, you're able to get it back. That's where I meant, like, where I got off track with the boy
sometimes,
girl thing.
Sometimes. And then there's sometimes where I have to reach out to you and be like, hey, are you still attracted to me? That happened the other day.
I mean, yeah,
it caused issues, but it happened the other day, you know. So you had just had a really good day, a really fun time, and that happened to be a moment where I was in a raging fucking insecure headspace.
Okay.
And I picked that time to reach out, and you were like, of course I am stupid, you know? So, I mean, it's even in that moment, I needed that, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
And that. I call him stupid, but it's like stupid with love, y'all. It's not like...
Well, no, then it wasn't. Then you were pissed.
But well, because you're dumb.
Yeah, but, you know...
but it was said with love still. Just
angry
love.
It's easy to come out of those insecure headspaces as long as you're willing to believe what your partner is telling you. And you know, if you'll call them or text them and be like, hey, I'm feeling this right now. Can you help me?
And I think that's what... This is what sucks, the growth that has happened because of the heartbreak that took place. I mean, I guess that's life, you know? That's how life stays fluid. We've got to learn and grow, and that's what happens. So, look at us being able to communicate that now. Like, we always talk about getting into the lifestyle, how much closer that has brought us together, and how much better our communication skills have got. But then there are still times where there's a disconnect and we have to come back and reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like, you know how we say you don't know there's a boundary until you cross it sometimes or whatever? That same thing, like, we have to come back to the table and reassess with each other, and that's just where we're at right now.
Yeah.
But everything is okay, guys. I'm saying this to you directly, sweet boy, Cody Lynn McCaskill, Boo Boo Bear. Everything is fine. We are okay. I love you. You are my husband forever and ever. You're stuck with me. Okay? Forever.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Mm, I love you too.
I need you to say, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. But I mean, this goes to show you that, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been with somebody. It doesn't matter what your relationship is. It doesn't matter how many reassurances you give each other. The insecurities are still going to be there.
And just give the reassurances.
Yeah. And
it,
you know,
takes 10 seconds to say, yes, stupid, of course I think you're hot.
Well, and ask for those reassurances too. You know, that's the easiest way to get out of a headspace. But like I said, you have to be willing to believe your partner, and you have to not fight them on the issue, you know. And it's just like, I didn't fight you whenever I said, hey, are you still attracted to me? Yes, of course I am, stupid. Okay, that's what I needed.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to take things at face value. And because if you're not, then you're just going to get deeper into that insecurity. And, you know, just ask your partner for help, for sure. that's the easiest way to get out of these insecurities. Therapy helps for sure. You know, there's lots of things that can help you, but the easiest way is just talking to your partner, because in any relationship, you're going to have insecurities about yourself, but you're also going to have insecurities about your relationship and about your partner. And just talk it out. Communicate. There's that dead horse again. We found him.
If you have to have yucky conversations if you want.
Yeah, this one hadn't been fun, but...
No, you're right. Like, I know I sound all happy hunky-dory, and they're like, oh, that's sweet, Heather. No, it's just because I cried earlier, and I'm high now. And sing the song. Don't. No. Come on. Oh, my gosh. You just broke my heart.
I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, the bad conversations have to happen.
They have to.
You know, and I've, speaking from experience, there, she was in a relationship in the past, and I had said that I wasn't going to get involved in the relationship, but I ended up giving her partner advice on more than one occasion. And the advice was always, you have to talk to her about this. You have to have that conversation as not fun as it's going to be. And the answer I always got back was, well, we have talked about it. Well, it doesn't matter if you've talked about it. If it's still happening, you have to talk about it again.
Yeah.
And if the insecurity is still there, you have to talk about it again, and you have to keep talking about it, and you have to keep talking about it. Because here's a tip for all of you. Relationships are never perfect, ever.
No.
The human mind is never perfect, ever. It never is. You know, and it doesn't matter if you're religious and you believe we were created in God's perfect image. That's great. You know, I'm happy for you, but the human mind is never perfect. You're always going to have something that is going to eat at you, and you're going to have some conversation that has to be had. Just have the conversation, because that's so much better for you than just shoveling this shit deep down inside of you for it to fester, and then it becomes a problem, right?
And so, sometimes that could be a problem that you can't come back from, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You can save your relationship just by having a conversation that's not fun. Yeah, you both might get pissed off at each other. Great. Are you still going to bed together? Probably. Will you maybe have to sleep on the couch one night? Maybe. Who fucking cares? You're saving your relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to have the conversation. I mean, and this isn't just for romantic relationships either. Friendships,
it's for all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Any kind of ship that involves you and another person.
Yeah.
It has to be two-way.
If you want to know how great relationships actually work, you need to look at oil field people, or oil field guys specifically, because we can be best friends, but the second that we cross that cattle guard, it's business, right? So if you're fucking up, I'm going to tell you, probably very fucking loudly, hey, you're fucking up, fix your shit, or I'm kicking you off location. You know, and then we can go have a beer together after work.
Yeah.
And
it's wild to watch.
It's because those conversations have to happen, and they have to happen right fucking now. Otherwise, somebody's going to get hurt,
yeah.
You know, and or we're going to lose money.
Yeah.
You know, and if you start fucking with my pocketbook, you're gone. So, you know, just try to be like that in your life. You know, if your friends are fucking up, call them out on it. Say, hey, this is fucked.
Yeah. I mean, find ways. That's you got to find ways to do it in a way that's like, yes, listen, like it's a slap in the face. You're hello, you know, shaking them mm-hmm. because you're shaking them with love. But there's also ways that you can be too much or too hard. And
it all depends on your relationship.
Exactly.
Right? With any of my buddies, I can just pull them aside and say, hey, you're fucking up.
Yeah.
Right. With not everybody's like that. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying treat every relationship like you're a couple of oilfield guys. But what I am saying is when your friends are fucking up, they need to know about it.
Correct.
Because you're helping them, right? Especially if it's in terms of your own relationship. But, I mean, hell, really with anything. If you see friends being racist, fuck, it's 2025. Tell them that they're being fucked up
yeah. And
to stop, you know? If you see friends being sexist, homophobic, whatever it is, call them out on it. Call people on their bullshit.
Yep.
The world would be a much better and smoother running place if everyone just called each other on their bullshit. 100%.
And that's what we're trying to do here, and that's why everybody got to hear the yucky conversations.
Well, and to show you, too, that, you know, we've we've said several times over the course of this podcast that, you know, we want to show that the lifestyle is not all fun and games. Mm-mm. It's not all easy. And this goes to show you right here that this is not easy. You know, this is, this fucking sucks, but it's something we'll come back from, and yeah. It's something we're going to be fine with. It's just in the moment. Yeah. It fucking sucks. Yeah. And
we're just in a learning part, and
yeah, the lifestyle part of this is we're dealing with something that a monogamous relationship is not going to have to deal with, right? Correct. Unless it's cheating. And then, you know, that part, yeah, they might have to, but hopefully not. Fingers crossed.
Anyways. Yeah.
But, Will, you got anything else you want to leave them with?
Where are we at on time? Are we doing good?
We're at 45 minutes right now.
Okay, so a little short this time, but not bad for getting it out late. Yep. No, let's see. The thing is, you gotta, as much as you have, I don't know, you have to be able, you've got to be able to be self-aware a little bit too. I mean, it took a long time of us kind of going around in circles and then me finally being like, this is what you're doing. Being able to articulate and say, this is how it is.
Well, and some people need that, right? Like, I need that.
Well, and it was just for me, I didn't know how to say it in a way that would make, that made any sense. Yeah. Until an overexcited thing happened. Mm. And because we're, you know, because we're friends, of course that would be shared and like excited. But then it was like, oh, that's not what it's supposed to be, you know? So
there's being self-aware, but then, I mean, like me, I like to think I'm pretty self-aware, right? But when my intentions are not to do any of that, I'm not going to be aware that I'm doing any of it. Right. So,
well, it's I think important. That's when I could finally that's where I finally said, okay, this is what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, like I'm saying it's a little bit more than you're thinking and like we need to readjust.
Well, and she was able, cause I asked her one time, as I said, can you tell me what I'm doing? And then I'll stop. Like, and at that time she was in a bad space and she told me, she said, no, I'm not going to police your behavior for you. And I was like, okay, well, fuck, I'll try it myself, you know? And then I think it was like a day later, she gave me a list, like, when you do this, 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 and this. And I was like, okay, fucking perfect. Now I have things that I can watch.
Well, that was because the day before it had happened and, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you gotta listen to your partner. And you know, if they give you something like, hey, this specifically, well, that I can work on 100%, right? Speaking in specifics is sometimes very important, right? Vague, broad terms are a lot harder to control than specifics.
But also you have to have patience because that's what I'm saying. It took me some time to figure out a way to say. Well, and
that's what I was trying to do, right? When I said, okay, fuck, I'll fix it, you know, I'll figure it out and I'll watch myself, right? That was me trying to, you know, have patience and say, okay, you know, fuck, this is scary because I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna watch for this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But it made it a lot more concrete whenever you gave me a list that says this, this, and this. And then, you know, I think you understood after that day that I was not asking you to police my behavior, right? I was not asking you to do that. What I need is a list of things that I can fix. What I need is examples of what I've been doing or my behavior
that exactly. I can control. I couldn't tell you exactly what it was that was making me feel that way, but it was just, I'm being a girl, I could feel my friends' feels, you know what I'm saying? And the excitement there or whatever. I couldn't figure it out until something finally happened where it was like, okay, this is what is exciting this person.
Yeah.
So now here's the list that like this is what I'm bringing to you. Like, this is how I can, this is how that person is perceiving it. So here is the list. Please quit doing this because it's hurting me. And we're not wanting to lead anybody on, you know, like we want the friendship, but like, we don't, want anybody's feelings to be hurt in the
because
process.
Because, you know, it's I've always said that I don't want a relationship. And the reason for that is because I don't have the time or the energy to give to another person in order for it to be fair to them. Right? I don't, when I'm home, I want to be home with you. Yeah. I want to be home with the kids. It's not fair to somebody else for me to take that time away from them that they deserve. Mm-hmm. If they're in a relationship with me, they're not going to get time with me, right?
Yeah.
Now, a couple hours to go to a party or yeah. a play date or something like that is totally fine, right?
Yeah.
That because I'm still with you, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yes.
But taking separate time out.
Well, even then, like, even if you were able to go to a party and I wasn't able to, like, being able to do that was cool too.
Yeah, that I would find hard to justify to myself.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because I'm only home for 10 days. Right.
So okay. Being, yeah, I guess when I'm going, you're not here.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And so.
Sorry, I guess that was a.
Yeah.
Okay.
Being apart from you when I'm only home for 10 days, I only get you for 8 days, really.
Yeah.
You know, being apart from you is not something that I want. So I don't have the time or the energy to give someone else what they deserve. And that's not fair to other people. And I don't want to do that yeah. to other people.
And that was a light bulb moment. For me, that because I was also hardcore making you question yourself and look inward to see if you wanted more than you were telling me you wanted. Because do you get where I'm going? Do you get where I'm going with that?
I do. Our audience might not.
Okay, help. Go off of it then.
So we had a few conversations where, you know, the insecurity part of it was, obviously, am I going to want a relationship with this person? Am I going to polybomb her again? And, you know, she had mentioned a couple of times that I need to look inward and be honest with myself and with her and decide if I really want more out of the lifestyle than what I think that I do. Being that, do I want a romantic relationship with somebody else, or, you know, do I just want to keep doing swinger things? And it was the first time since we've been in the lifestyle that actually made me question it with her, you know, with her telling me, you have to be honest with yourself. And it didn't make me question it in the sense that, you know, oh, I've been just covering it up all these years. No, it made me sit and think, you know. And that was the conclusion I came to, is that I don't have the time or the energy to give someone else. I really don't. And, you know, it's not, I don't make a habit of hurting people. At least I don't want to, right?
Yes.
And I don't want to do that to somebody to say, hey, I want a relationship with you. But then at the same time, I'm not going to give you any time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or energy, you know what
and
I mean?
I think that was a light bulb moment for me, for it finally, I guess, I don't know, believing you,
mm-hmm.
that what you're actually saying is true, regardless of past indiscretions or whatever, and then that's what we're working through with our therapist and all that crap. All the good things, not the crap, all the good things that we're doing. To better ourselves. Do you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just nodding in agreement.
Yeah, I know. That's what you're. Yep. We're done. I'm forgetting where I'm at now.
Okay.
Yep. And you're not.
You know, we say, like I mentioned a while ago, we found the dead horse and we're back to beating him again. communication and honesty are paramount. You know, there was one time I was dishonest a few years ago, and it caused probably irreparable damage, if we're being honest. You know, I don't know if we're going to get past.
We will.
We will, as a couple, be together past it. Always.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll ever get back to the point of you being able to just take me at my word that what I say is true. Because that was a big lie.
But
you know,
that's why I'm back on more of a mental health journey than just my ADHD and anxiety stuff.
But with that, I lied, you know. And if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast, you know, you need to know that emotional cheating is still cheating. And indiscretions are going to fuck up your partner a lot more than you're probably willing to, because they're going to find out about it. They're going to know the truth. They're going to find the truth, and whatever little cutesy bullshit you try to spin on it, it's going to come out. And you have to know that that damage is probably going to be irreparable. So be ready to deal with that before you are ready to sacrifice that for a little bit of fun in the sheets, you know, because it's not worth it. It's really not. A little bit of fun in the sheets, a little bit of fun in a text message, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You need to know that that sacrifice is not worth it. So just remember that, and just be honest with each other. You know, monogamous people, poly people, yeah. Swinger people, whatever it is, just be honest with each other.
And with yourself. That's the big thing, the inflection here about me figuring out ways to better deal with the situation so I can figure out the triggers or whatever. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to figure out ways to do that, because if you can't, nothing's going to change.
Right.
Nothing. If right. You don't.
All right, well, I think that's about all the time we have for the day. Again, sorry for coming to you late, but it is still Friday, so
boom.
Suck on that. Till next time, keep loving yourselves, because we love you. Okay, thanks. Bye.